Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Edition. I got to listen and watch an outstanding broadcast of a baseball game yesterday. Although I must admit, I was a little bit concerned at one point during the game that someone had taken a ball in a bad location. And the color guy did a great job of describing it. Edition. The Packers offseason continues. And apparently Bob Moore is not just a favorite of Mark Tauscher. Apparently Derek Ansley also is using his wise words of wisdom on a certain cornerback that may or may not be on the team this year. Edition. And the Feel Good Friday edition. We always wrap up the week with Feel Good Friday. I'm going to tease you. I'm going to remind you again because he's a good friend of ours. Mark Osiecki's Casting for Kids event is coming up, I believe, tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
So make sure you check out casting4kids.org to support the AmFam Children's Hospital and the UW Carbone Cancer Center edition of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. I just blew it again. That's old school. On the ESPN Wisconsin app, the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, and maybe this is why I was a little bit off my game there. I am told by sources close to the program.
Oh, boy.
That Mark Tauscher is in an undisclosed location. And I'm quoting Jesse here. He's on video. And wait until you see it. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you in like a canary cage?
You know, I figured you guys would say... You know how there's that meme with the older grandma that's in a cage and you can't let her out until the Cubs win a World Series, Brewers win a World Series, whatever it is. I am not in a cage, but this does have a bird cage feel to it.
It very much does.
Yeah, I like it. I think this might be one of my favorite video setups that we've had. Hey, I didn't forget my iPad this time. That's a win.
Great news.
I am 1,000% in support of that. Well done. I'm proud of you. Good work.
Thank you.
And look, as absolute, for those of you, look, I'm not telling you how to consume our show. I am appreciative of the fact, however you consume it, whether it's on YouTube, on the Twitter video, wherever it might be. I love that you listen, so thank you. But if you're not watching on video, This is one of the great things about Tausch when he's on location. Perhaps you remember the 2 months he spent in Sonoma and the various camera angles we had for that. Have you strapped the camera on the head of like a squirrel who is peeking over the wall at you?
Here's the deal. You guys always say I'm too far away because I set it up because I don't want the iPad like flipping over. So there's a setup. I want to be outside because it's a gorgeous morning. I'm in a little screened in porch and I have a chair, but the chair's too low. So I have to prop it up. And there's a nice pillow because it's a
pillow.
That's a pillow.
It looks like a rock formation. So it does not look like a comfortable pillow.
Listen, I love the fact that you guys, it's a guess your backdrops type deal. So I have the pillow and then I put the iPad on top of that, leaning against the chair to get the angle so you can see my face. And that's, I think,
your best side.
I mean, yeah, that's where we're at. So this is. It's always a battle. I had about 15 minutes. I was trying to piece together what would be the best. There's, I had a bar stool that I was thinking about putting it on. I think this is what I came up with for the best setup.
Well, we're happy to have you. We are appreciative of you being connected to VO. Again, you can listen over terrestrial radio. You can stream video. Whatever you do, we are thankful. But if you do have the chance to check out Squirrel Cam, I definitely recommend it as he peeks over the wall. All right. Do you have something like special going on?
Sure.
Or, I mean, I didn't know you were going to be on location, so I don't want to ask, much like I did with Derek Ansley yesterday. I don't want to put you in a bad spot, DA. Can I ask you a yes or no question?
DA?
You
call him DA. Okay.
I do. Yeah. Are you on some sort of a mission?
I would say this is a retreat.
Oh.
Like a nice fun, it's a nice fun little 2-day stretch. We're doing some golf at a great golf course and we're going to have some fun. We got some nice stuff planned. It's going to be a nice couple of days for old T in a, you know, beautiful spring weekend. That's what old T's got going on.
Well, you earned it with your performance last night.
Oh my God, I can't even tell you. So I have said this, and I said this last night to Hunter, who's done a great job. Our prep stuff in Madison is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like the coverage that we do with the dean, who knows everything about everything high school sports-wise. I couldn't believe the game was going on. I'm in Sun Prairie last night. It's about 5 o'clock. The game in Middleton starts at 6. Jesse and Dennis's pregame coverage starts at 5:45. I can't believe there's a game. We're getting hit with a hailstorm. Like, hail is pelting. Eleanor's game gets canceled. All of the Sun Prairie stuff is canceled. So I'm just assuming, all right, there's going to be a game. I text Jesse, hey, what's the deal? He goes, sunny here, game on. And I'm thinking, what? So I get my Chevy Tahoe from Zimbrick, who is a proud partner of last night's event. And I start trudging over there. And one of the roads is closed. So I get there. I'm talking right before tip, and I don't know where Jesse is set up because it's over in Middleton, so I don't know that as like I would at Sun Prairie.
Mm-hmm.
There's a press box, and Jason, if I'm telling you, we were, you know, I got the bad wheel. It's you got to hike up stadium steps, you know, and no problem. But
on your Tahoe, on you, you got a bad wheel.
Yes, the Tahoe wheels are important. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's a key. But that's key. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Great drop, Jesse. And if it was, the service team over at Zimbrick and on Sun Prairie is phenomenal.
That's why they sponsor the prep coverage here on ESPN Wisconsin.
I look up, and they're like, oh, there's your broadcast team. I look, and it looks like they're in the middle of, you know, those storms where the reporters are like flying. There's a 40-mile-an-hour wind, and you found the highest spot in Middleton. I think it's the highest spot in the whole city.
Granddad's Bluff.
It is. So as I'm walking up, my buddy Timmy Cleary, his group is a big partner. He's Mr. Middleton. I'm walking up with him and talking. And as we walk up, the national anthem starts playing. So, you know, we stand there. We're, you know, doing our thing. And Tim's like, oh, here it is. So thanks, Tim. I'm walking, and Jesse and Hunter look disheveled, but all of a sudden, right after the national anthem, there was a paper tornado Jesse, for some reason, thought that because he's in the highest peak of Middleton, the papers from all of his prep and all of the papers that I was supposed to have, they go flying out Middleton. I think it's Otto Breitenbach Stadium. It goes flying everywhere. Otto Breitenbach.
Love
my
him.
My great aunt, Aunt Gladys, who lived on Breeze Terrace, who is where we would go and stop after games. So it's all, it all comes together. But the papers go flying.
Well, wait a minute. No. You never said what Aunt Gladys's connection was to Otto.
She was great friends with Otto Breitenbach, and she used to talk about Otto Breitenbach.
Sure she was. Pals, okay.
Don't you imply anything about my Aunt Gladys, Jason. That is not where you need to live. I don't know. I didn't ask any. They were family friends. God, you are a real dirtbag.
No, you I didn't say anything.
Real dirtbag.
Jesse, was he implying things about my Aunt Gladys?
Team Glotto,
yes.
Yeah.
He's implying, don't you dare sewer my Aunt Gladys. By the way, put Aunt Gladys up because I got a story about her and Vitaly Pesetsky that'll blow your mind. That's another story for another day.
Can't wait.
Okay.
So anyways, the papers go flying.
A lot of friends for Aunt Gladys.
So we are now, Dennis is down smartly in the enclosed press box with a scorebook, being a pro. Mm-hmm. I get up, never done a baseball game in my life, as you could probably tell as you're listening. And Jesse, the game starts, and Jesse has no papers. There's nothing. Luckily, the Middleton youngsters crew, the little leaguers and whatnot, they go around Otto Breitenbach Stadium and are grabbing all the papers and bring them back up to Jesse. So shout out to Middleton's youth baseball program. Jesse starts announcing the game. Jump in, Jesse, as you would.
So first of all, I do want to thank those kids because I didn't get a chance to do that last night because they delivered the papers back in the middle of the bottom of the first inning. So they handed the papers off and ran back to their seats wherever they were. Those kids saved our broadcast last night.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they. We were dead in the water without.
I knew Sun Prairie inside out.
You knew nothing about Middleton. I had all my Middleton notes were gone. I had nothing.
Jesse, hold up. I knew about the guy that used to catch their three-hitter, who's a GRB kid, and he's a really good player. He's going to play football. He's a football guy.
Tyler Vogt. Okay? Yeah, huh? Yeah.
Vogt.
Yeah.
I know so much about him, I don't know his name.
I knew his name was Vogt. I didn't know his first name. But then I knew that their pitcher is a stud, and he dealt a heck of a game. And I knew what happened 2 days before in this exact game.
We wouldn't have been able to say who was batting. We wouldn't have been able to say anything about them. It would have been a debacle.
It would have not been good.
Those kids saved our broadcast last night. Those four kids that delivered those papers. I can't believe it was angelic how they just appeared in the bottom of the first inning. No, for me it was.
Angelic.
Because these papers fly away, and now I wasn't just careless. The national anthem was going on, and I set my phone and our big roll of tape that kind of always holds everything down, set that all on top of the papers during the anthem. We're standing there, hand over the heart, and the biggest gust of wind of the night comes blowing through. My phone hits the railing of this level 3 press box. It should have gone over, and I should have had to stop at Verizon on the way home last night. It ended up falling in the corner of our platform.
You're telling me the windstorm moved your phone? It flew your phone.
My phone, it
caught the paper and lifted up the phone.
The phone flew, and it hit the railing, landed in the corner by the camera where Hunter was also trying to hold onto the camera because he's trying. That almost blew over the side of the press
box. That was something else, too. Hunter was battling. He was battling.
I was going to say the video was a little shaky. Now I know why.
Baseball's a radio sport anyway, Jason. Everybody knows.
Some folks were saying it was the Goodyear Blimp coverage of the Middleton.
You guys were way up there. There's no as one
was
of the
Mount
viewers.
Everest of it was the Mount Everest of Middleton. Yes, last night.
So, Jason,
we get to the start of the game and obviously, the weather threw things off. It was the game had gotten postponed slightly, an hour and a half.
That's called a delay.
Jesse starts announcing the wrong team. he's Sun Prairie's kid Sogstad, their leadoff hitter. He gets a base hit, and he's saying, hey, Guerrero with a base hit. And I'm like, there ain't no Guerrero on Sun Prairie East. And then Jesse's looking like, oh, shucks, I said the wrong team. I had the Middleton team up. The game's in Middleton, bro. And he's announcing Middleton's kid. That's a fair assessment.
I had no notes. They all blew away right before first pitch. I was going straight from memory when I had written the lineups down 20 minutes ago.
And they're all Cardinals, by the way.
At least I
had
a
lot of Cardinals.
And the Sun Prairie jerseys, let's talk to somebody about those, because you couldn't see the numbers on them at all from where we were.
After, just wait a second. You're going to get after Stelzy?
Yeah.
They're the great embroiderer? Because you don't like his jerseys that they're putting?
Stelzy, wow. The great embroiderer.
He is the great embroiderer.
If we're going to call another Sun Prairie East baseball game someday, which Lord knows we need a do-over after how last night went, we need some legible numbers if we're going to be calling it from Mount Middleton or wherever we were up top there last night.
Yeah, I honestly, and this is not to toot our own horn, I thought we did a fantastic job with the broadcast. I do. Now, some people might disagree, but for the circumstances we were thrown in, I loved it. I had a ton of fun. It was great. The only thing that sucked was that Middleton won from my end. But for Middleton, it was a
way to be unbiased.
Well, I said going in I was going to be biased. I didn't wear the Sun Prairie Cardinal hat.
Oh, good job.
I wore a Pickler hat because I wanted to promote Pickler. But also, it's true. Now, today, I got the Cardinals the hat that we had last night.
Not
the
game that we can see it.
What do you mean? Right there. See?
Not from that angle.
By the way, Stelzy, the great embroiderer, this is one of his deals. So lay off of Stelz, Jesse.
So which inning was it? I'm going back. And if you missed the game, Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Hunter, I want to say this. Hunter is great. He's great with the video. I don't know how to put links in stuff. That's a weakness of mine. So I put out that I'm going to be doing the game. I'm excited. And I said, Hunter, where do I put it? He goes, just put ESPN Madison YouTube. So I said, oh, you want to do that so you can link it? He puts the tweet out there, and there ain't no links anywhere to be found on that link.
Yeah, somebody else had to swoop in and post the link for you.
In fairness to Hunter, I had plans to tweet this out from the Wilde and Tausch accounts.
That would have been nice.
All this stuff. I couldn't take my phone out of my pocket because it would have meant I had to take a hand off of the binder and the papers after we got them back.
You act like we were in the middle of a tornado. It was windy. It wasn't blowing.
Did you see the news? There was a tornado in Wisconsin last night.
Indeed.
We were kind of in the middle of a tornado. It wasn't the tornado.
How heavy is your phone? Your phone is not.
Not heavy enough, clearly.
This was not picking up rocks and firing them at our face. It wasn't that windy.
Again, as I look at the replay, which you can find on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, it is definitely Skycam. It is. You are up there.
If we could have found a higher mountain, we would have went there. And this was for a second. I thought we were going to have to get oxygen tanks.
Nice. And then secondly, all you have to do is watch like one at bat, and the camera moves in a manner that clearly is not like Hunter, being jittery. It is. The wind taking the so I believe Jesse that his phone was also uplifted by the wind.
The phone didn't fly away. This wasn't like a helicopter.
You
phone.
Wouldn't know. You barely got there on time for the game.
I got there right on time.
Good one.
Good one. Yeah.
So which who was the player that and I'm quoting now? This was from the color analyst. I don't know if it got him in the you-know-whats. That might have been my favorite part of the broadcast. Turned out he got hit in the foot, by the way. Farther down his body than the you-know-whats.
Jesse, I've learned something about Jesse's play-by-play. If he doesn't know, he still rolls with it. He will continue on and say, "You know, there's a pinch hitter up. Guy hits a rope down the left field line. He says it's Turk, Troy Turk, a buddy of mine. He played football at Wisconsin. His kid plays first base. He hits a liner down the left. He goes, Turk, what a liner. Turk's a right-handed hitter. We had a freshman kid in that batting
again,
left-handed.
Had the lineups, it blew away, didn't get the lineup back.
We got the lineups back.
I didn't. No, I had a different sheet I couldn't look at because of that. Also,
but
if the great embroiderer had some
it.
More clearer numbers, it would have been easier to see it wasn't
wow.
Turk.
Wow, you're getting after Stelzy. It's unbelievable. All in all, man, it was a ton of fun. But the catcher for Sun Prairie gets hit. And I saw the ball, and I thought it hit him in the shin/foot. But Jesse immediately thinks he got hit in the you-know-whats. And the kid goes down. And the kid's tough. As I said, tough as a $2 steak. Catchers are tough. He is a really good catcher.
Uh-huh.
And he is laying there in misery. And then I said, you know, the umps and the catcher's got a good relationship. If an ump gets drilled, the catcher will go out and give him a minute. The ump did the same thing for him. He got hit in the shin, but Jesse made it out like he got hit in the you-know-whats. And he didn't get hit in the you-know-whats.
Well, not all catchers are tough, I can tell you that. Now, I
what
do,
does that mean?
Because I was a catcher, and you don't think I'm tough.
You were a catcher?
You caught? Mm-hmm. I guess you got that stocky backside that you're looking for in a catcher.
Thank you very much.
Sense.
It's one of the nicest things you've ever said to me.
I know.
Yes, I do love the fact that Jesse got that play right. It reminds me of the old story about Harry Carey, who obviously, like Jesse, a great play-by-play man.
Oh, yeah.
Not paying attention during a game or maybe it had a couple of beverages and blurting out on WGM, why is Kingman hitting left-handed?
That literally is exactly what happened last night.
tough
circumstances. That was were the toughest circumstances.
So Jesse,
that I've ever called
and
a
normally,
game.
Normally, I don't want to correct but it was such a big moment because it was one of Sun Prairie's last opportunities to tie the game.
It was
up.
The right thing for you to correct it. Absolutely.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yes.
All right. I don't like doing that, but that was a case where I felt like.
I also think.
In fairness, Turk is a big kid. He plays first base. This is not a bigger kid. You know what I mean?
I think in normal circumstances,
we know what you mean.
We would have been able to clearly identify that right away. But because we were in the 400 level, because the
and
wind was
Stelzy's
flying, and I didn't have
right?
an actual scorecard to keep track of anything. Gosh. And I was like sifting through the papers was hard enough because you tried to flip one over, and it would just go and you're like rip. So it tough night. Tough night.
So
at the
obviously, Strelzy is embroidery royalty. It does sound like maybe these jerseys were like that those Packers throwbacks where you couldn't read the numbers. They had like the number in a circle.
You
the
don't
front,
put that on Strelzy. Put that on who designed the jersey.
Wait a minute. I'm setting something up here.
Oh.
Well, is he the great embroiderer or the great benefactor?
So Strelzy is embroidery royalty. As we learned yesterday, if you reference a restaurant and say royalty that has ice cream.
Multiple layers to that.
I'm still dumbfounded
confusion.
By that.
But when it comes to windows, Gina Della is the queen, and the royalty, of course, is Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
And there is no better time to upgrade your windows and doors. We could have used the window last night, stopped Jesse's phone from supposedly flying away. There is no better time to upgrade your windows and doors than right now because Pella is offering up to 6 years of 0% financing. Set up your free in-home consultation. You commit to nothing at this point. They'll listen to your vision and suggest the Pella materials and customizations to make it a reality. Get 0% financing for up to 6 years. Certain restrictions do apply. This deal ends at the end of May, so visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
Looking at the live chat replay, I see our guy Clayton, Packer fan, Total Access, chimed in, watched the game with you guys. He even points out after Middleton took a 2-1 lead that the wind looks like it's really picking up there. Again, defending Jesse. And Levi jumped in there. Levi suggested that you and I call a game together, Tausch. I have no play-by-play skills, but maybe a three-man booth might be fun.
So let's do this. Next year, the game will be in Sun Prairie, the same thing. I think Jesse's the play-by-play and that we both do color commentary.
We'll see if we can make that happen.
Jason could be our field room. He could be our Sophia Minnert down
in
the dugout.
Yeah. We get a little get you a Gatorade shower afterwards.
You love interviews, telling the other stories.
Telling stories.
I love that. That's an additional layer. But in all seriousness, you guys did a great job. If you are a Sun Prairie or a Middleton fan, or just a fan of high school baseball, it's a really good game. And if you want to watch it back, you can find it on our YouTube channel for ESPN Madison. We will get into the Packers and the offseason and everything else that we have neglected so far today. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. I'm a hazard to myself. Don't let me get me. I'm my own worst enemy. It's bad when you and all yourself. So irritating. Don't want to be my friend no more. I want to be somebody else. Yeah. Don't let me get me. I'm my own worst enemy. It's bad when you and all.
Continuing with we hear the birds in the background, and you look like you're in a bird cage. So this is a really interesting scene and a little distracting, frankly. Tausch, I don't want to get into this now. I want to be able to spend a little more time on it. But I did ask D.A., as I call him, about Jair Alexander yesterday and him sharing the fact that he texts him every morning. Every single morning. Before we discuss the significance of that, I did write for Channel3000.com about how they have other options if ultimately it doesn't work out. Do you like what this team has done, not just at corner, because we'll get into that, but across the board in terms of the options they have? Like, they have options on the offensive line. They have options at wide receiver. They have options at safety. We were talking to Ryan Downard yesterday. I mean, they've got all kinds of guys that can play and did play next to Xavier McKinney. Because I'm wondering if, for you, having played in the league, you view that as they've done a great job of creating a bunch of depth, or they got a lot of guys that are basically the same and they don't have enough studs.
Well, I think the goal is that you have these young players develop into studs. And you always want competition. That's been a cycle thing. But, yeah, at some point, and I could go with two different analogies here. You kind of talked about the options, and you get your two hole cards, and you hope to have more options. You don't want to be just shooting for a gut shot or a gut shot straight, or you're hoping for this. You want to have options, but I think it's more going back to my days on the dairy farm back in Millidor. Milk is great, man. Like, I think everybody, I love milk. Farmers love milk. That's how you make your money. But at some point, you know where you get that good cash? The cream, the butter fat, and that rises up, and that's where you make that great ice cream. That's where you make butter, or you get all the good stuff. Eventually, you gotta have some players rise to the top and be difference makers, because it's nice. You can't have difference makers at every spot. Eventually, with the salary cap, it just doesn't work. You need to have your guys, and you need to have a good chunk of your bulk tank is going to be milk, but you gotta have that cream that comes up to the top that brings that sweet, sweet butter. / championship. Some of these guys, if it's Evan Williams, Xavier McKinney was cream. He rose to the top. Now you have these young guys that had some nice, you started churning a little bit. You got the butter churn out. I feel like this porch that I'm on is perfect for a butter churn. You butter churn a little bit, and you start developing. And then all of a sudden, it turns. Evan Williams would be a guy that I think you're looking at making that jump. Now, if you don't, and you keep sitting there, what happens to milk if it doesn't mature? You have a shelf life.
Yeah, curdles.
And you don't want that. So at some point, you need to continue to bring in new milk. You got to continue that process. And sometimes it goes away. Sometimes it rises to the top. And I think for the you know, for the Green Bay Packers, you want to continue to give yourself guys that are in the mix to be that cream. Sometimes it'll happen. Sometimes it won't. You're not going to have a bulk tank full of cream. That's not what we're looking for, but we need more cream to rise to the top of that big, beautiful bulk tank that we call the Green Bay Packers.
God, you love that analogy. Well, I mean, good. Is there anything you love more than that? Love all your analogies, ice cream on top of ice cream. We all know that there's been some classics. Is the bulk tank cream rising to the top?
It just...
And the butter fat, is that the goat? Is that the goat of Tausch analogies?
So I don't know if it's my best, but it's my favorite because it takes me to a time of yesteryear. It takes me back to the days when I'm kicking field goals between two silos and I'm playing baseball on the farm with the Schmidt kids and, you know, hitting turnaround jumpers over a Leland tractor. Like, those days are great core memories for me. And the bulk tank is what drove those memories. The bulk tank is what feeds families, farm families. That's why I enjoy it so much.
And the smell of manure is the smell of money, and Grouch the cat chasing away the mice.
No, the catching the duck before Thanksgiving.
Aunt Gladys hanging out with whoever she was with.
Apparently Vitaly Pasetsky and Otto Breitenbach.
My mom is going to have some serious questions about what the hell I'm talking about today. I feel fairly certain about that.
Well, I'm glad you could take that walk down memory lane with the bulk tank. You can both live in the past and in the future when you talk about Hard Rock Casino, because we were just there last week, and we're going to be there again next month.
We are, and man, we love our new partnership with Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Features over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, including more than 1,300 slot machines, 50 live table games, a sports book, and a rock shop. And if you're hungry, the options, diverse dining options at the Hard Rock Cafe, Council Oak Steaks and Seafood, Bricked Italian Kitchen, and I am excited to try that UU Noodle Bar. I love a good noodle bar in casinos. I love them. I do. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, right off I-90. I think it took Jesse and Jesse drives really slow, a little under an hour to get down to Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off of I-90. Big old, beautiful, bold purple gold guitar. You'll see it off the left-hand side on your way to Rockford.
It's amazing how a week ago you were so complimentary of how well I drove that day, and now a week later,
interesting.
Well, you did drive.
Slow driver. No,
Jesse, my point is,
didn't tweet out the link.
If you really
lied about his phone.
If you really want to push it, you can get there maybe a little bit less than an hour. It was all that was. I wasn't a shot at you. You want to be. I want to be in a car with a safe, conservative driver. I'm not interested in Michael Andretti taking me to Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Well, it'd be kind of cool. Get there in 25
You're
going to
turn down
so.
A ride with Andretti Hard Rock? I don't think so.
Well, I don't know.
Only if Andretti agreed not to stop to pee.
I'll tell you this. I mean, if it's a normal, like, Chevy Tahoe, yeah. If it's one of those Formula One cars, unfortunately, I think old T, that's not a good fit for me.
Not with that bad wheel, and we're not talking about the vehicle. All right, so I want to get into what Derek Ansley had to say yesterday about Jair Alexander. When I gave him the opportunity to do basically what Jeff Hafley did, which was say, I'm not answering that question, Wilde, sorry. And he didn't. He gave us a little bit of insight. I also want to get into, and I know Jesse's got some stuff lined up audio-wise, this Caleb Williams story with the Bears and what he said in this book. I am very intrigued to get Tausch's take on that. Plus, we've got trivia and the Packers revoking the season tickets of a guy who says he was not attending games but selling his tickets because his parents were both ill and was not able to come to the games. All those stories still ahead, plus trivia, lots to do with the Birdcage, Mark Tauscher. It's Wilde and Tausch.
The Subway Series returns. Juan Soto makes his return to the Bronx when the Mets face Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees. Coverage begins Saturday at 12:30 Eastern and Sunday at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance.
So the defensive coaches talked yesterday, wrapping up our assistant coach access for the offseason. And I'll tell you this, DeMarcus Covington's impressive dude. I don't know if he'll get anything more out of Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness and Devontae Wyatt or not, but he made a very good first impression. And for a guy who played wide receiver at the Division 1 AA level, to be coaching defensive line and have had success doing so intrigues me greatly. But I did want to – and look, I know I can be annoying. I'm aware. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I can't – I have to do my job, and the Jair Alexander situation is part of this equation with this team this offseason. It's not the only storyline, but it is a storyline. And obviously, when I asked Jeff Hafley, you know, what would it mean for this defense if you guys get things worked out and Jair is back, and he punted, I get it. I understand why he wouldn't have wanted to answer it. I would have liked him to have answered it. I thought it was interesting that he didn't when it was framed in a way that he could say, if it happens, we're obviously a better team when we have him, and then we've also got other guys we really like. But he just punted instead. So when I asked Derek Ansley yesterday, DA, about it, I know you don't like nicknames.
No, I like nicknames. You haven't even met the guy. The first conversation you had with
him. No, Derek Ansley was on the staff last year. I've met him. DeMarcus Covington's the guy I don't know.
DC.
Okay, well, I didn't call him that. I don't know what he goes by.
Oh, I thought you were okay.
No, it's DA, last year.
That's better. Okay, that's
defensive
better.
Passing game coordinator, okay. Cornerbacks coach.
About Covington. Okay, all right.
So it's still annoying.
Kind of like messing up which leadoff hitter you're talking about, huh?
No, not even close.
Last name, vote. I didn't want to put him in a bad spot. And so I said, look, can I ask you a yes or no question? I don't want to put you in a bad spot. He said, sure. I said, have you had consistent contact with Jair throughout the offseason? And he actually said, yeah, I text him every day, every morning.
Yeah, that's what you said. Might
be a Bob Moore quote. He did not actually say that, but that's where Tausch gets his from, the NFLPA. It might be a Bible passage or a scripture passage. But I thought it was telling, Tausch, that coaches at least, I don't know about Goody, I don't know. I would assume he and Russ Ball have had their interactions with John Thornton, who is Jair's agent. Okay. But I think it's telling that Matt LaFleur has stayed in contact with him as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's telling that they have tried to keep that going and keep him part of the team. He is, after all, as Goody said, still on our roster right now. How do you view what the coaches have done based on those pieces of information with a guy that we still don't know what the end game will end up being?
Yeah, I think it's obviously important to keep a relationship with guys. And when you're, whether you're playing, I mean, I still text with Campy, and that's been 15 years. There is a, you know, that bond, but let's not kid ourselves. I'm not texting James Camp and he's not texting me. You're going to, when you have this time of uncertainty, I think one of the big things you want to make sure the player feels is loved. And when a player is trying to figure out, it's going to come down to money. It always does. But in this case, there's also the feeling of, boy, they want me. And the money tells you that they want you. But then there's also the communication and the relationship that you need to forge and continue to nurture in order to keep players to be at their best. And I think one of the most underrated parts of coaching, there are a lot of coaches have drills, a lot of coaches have a lot of knowledge on things and they can adjust. But I think one of the most important things is understanding who your player is and what drives them. What does this player need? I liked getting a kick into Keister. I thought that was fine. Some guys, it's got to be all Patton to Keister. You need to figure out, what does this player need? How can I get the best out of them? And the only way to do that is to understand their personality and understand what makes them tick, the why of why they're doing what they're doing. And good coaches, now you have to take that up another notch in order to get that to the point where you're going to get the best out of the players that may or may not even be on your team. And I'll be curious, if Jair ends up getting released and goes somewhere else, will DA keep sending those text messages? I would venture to say no, probably because there's tampering rules and other things.
Sure.
But that's just the nature of the beast. That doesn't mean they won't keep their relationship. But make no mistake about what it tells me is that the coaching staff would love to see Jair Alexander back.
It also tells me
that with the length of what's going on and with the roster bonus, with workouts and things like that, it must be stickier than maybe we think. And I think Jair is probably looking at this and saying, I'll give, but I'm not going to give everything. And I think the Packers are looking at it like, this is what we're going to do. If you are fine with that, great. If you're not, we are fine moving on. That, to me, is where this situation is at.
Well, if they do move on, and again, I understand that, believe me, because I talk about it all the time across all of our different shows, so I get tired of it too. I've never quite, and tell me if I'm not, you know, I'm being pommy, prisoner of the moment here. I don't remember a player on the roster under contract, a saga like this going on as long as it has, in which it's not him holding out. Like, it's not, that's not what this is. This isn't him holding out and not showing up because he wants his contract adjusted. It's literally the team agreeing to parameters with his agent that he is not coming in for the offseason program because they don't want him to blow his Achilles and be on the hook for his roster, for his salary for this year. And him not, like, you always say that Tomlin says, I want volunteers, not hostages. I wouldn't go so far to say that he's a hostage, but he's in kind of a weird situation, and it just doesn't end. We're on the verge of June here, and he's still here. Do you remember anything like this?
I don't. I think here's the scenario. And again, you can only words are great. They're cute, and that, you know, we talk about it. But the actions here tell me that there is at least some softening on both sides. Because if it was the case where Jair felt as if the Packers are doing him wrong and not giving him an opportunity to go somewhere else, and he doesn't have any interest in being back here, his agent would have him at the doors of 1265 today. Let me in. I'm under contract. I'm going in. And if you're not, get rid of me. That would be the I need to make a move play. And Green Bay would then have to release him. So, or figure something else out. They're not going to pay him the agreed upon salary in the contract. That's not going to happen. So it tells me that the lines of communication have been good. And at least Jair's team feels as if things are trending in a way that could end to a result that makes him some money and makes him at least somewhat whole. And until that happens, there is no deadline trigger point monetarily. And when you don't have that in this league, things drag out. So the old deadline spur action bit is 100% true. The thing here is there really ain't a deadline until training camp comes. And even then, Green Bay could say, you're good. We're not going to fine you. But then, you know, there is this money component that Jair, if I'm Jair and I'm looking at it, like I need to be 80% to get a $500,000 workout bonus, you're going to have to tie me down and not let me get in there to get that 500K.
Right. All right. If it doesn't work out and he doesn't come back, and this is what I wrote about at Channel 3000 today, you know, look, they've got a lot of young guys that they're intrigued by, right? Kalen King, you know, DA was very excited about him yesterday. We saw Carrington Valentine at the Tundra Trio during the draft. He did a Q&A with Strofe. I mean, I like his potential, and I like what he's done so far. The guy started 22 games in the NFL, including three playoff games. So he's in a good spot. They did draft Micah Robinson in the seventh round. They've got this kid out of UNLV, Jonathan Baldwin, who plays safety. He plays corner. He's a safety. He's a corner. He's a breath mint. But this is really going to be about how good Nate Hobbs is, who they've paid to come in and be a versatile inside-out piece. We asked Jeff Hafley about him. We will hear what Jeff Hafley had to say and get Tausch's thoughts on him because he got a contract that says he's a starter. I am very curious to see if he makes the jump that some of the other free agents they've signed that didn't have huge proven track records wound up becoming in the Goody era. We'll talk about him next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
When it comes to free agent signings, obviously there are seismic signings, right? Like,
I had a quick question for you before we hit the seismic signings.
Well, this definitely is not one of them.
Four Seasons room or screened in porch as a Wisconsinite? You pick
What's
one.
What's the difference?
Screened in porch, you're not going out there in the winter.
Yeah, screened-in porch has, like, the air flowing through it all the time as opposed to the Four Seasons room.
Did you really just ask what's the difference?
I don't know what a Four Seasons room is. I don't have one.
So, like, a sunroom, some people know it as a Four Seasons room where it's, like, I don't know, it's separate, not separate from the house. I don't know how to describe that.
It's almost as if it's hard to know what it is.
It's an added-on room that, like, you can close a door to, and it's, like, separate if it gets a little colder, a little warmer, depending on the season.
But it's not, like, insulated like a regular room is?
Correct.
Yeah, a little different, yeah.
No, it's
so it's Four Seasons, but you're going to freeze your ass off in the winter if you're in it?
You're not going to do a Four Seasons room and not put a fireplace in there. So, yeah.
I
don't think you can do a fireplace. Can you do a fireplace in – well, you're not going to go out there in the winter then. And actually, I would argue a Four Seasons, the best time is the winter. Because you got that cold air and you get all snuggly with the fireplace. I think here's the deal and why I ask that. If you're on a lake, you go screened-in porch. I don't think you do screened-in porch unless you're a lake. Tell me I'm crazy.
So are you for all right? A few things. First of all, we'll talk about Nate Hobbs another time because it's not a seismic free agent signing. Although Jesse did get the audio for me. Are you on a lake?
Yes.
You in a Four Seasons room or are you in a screened-in porch?
It's a screened-in porch and a screened-in chair or a caged-in chair.
It is.
So yes.
Does it swing? Does it swivel? The chair, not the screened-in room.
I would not sit on a swivel chair that was like hanging. I'm not pulling that out of the thing.
We can see that it's not attached to the ceiling.
You asked, and obviously, if it was, I would tell you. So I don't know.
I didn't. It doesn't swivel.
No,
you're not sitting in a Christmas ornament.
It's not going to swivel if you don't have a thing up here holding like an extended version of the chair.
The base can swivel.
It ain't a swiveling base chair, bro.
I know, and
this.
Now
thank you.
And
for
I
clarifying.
Already knew it wasn't hanging from the ceiling because it wouldn't be hanging for the ceiling much longer.
Rude, but fair.
Okay. I would like to talk about Nate Hobbs.
I don't like screened-in porches. For the record, I'm out on those.
That's okay. I think unless you're on a lake, because a screened-in porch, realistically.
Do you have a dog?
There's a dog barking back there, yeah. Might be a sign. 3 months? I mean, realistically, a screened-in porch, what are you getting, 3 to 4 months? Is that about what you got?
Probably, if that. Because then it also, like, you don't want to be out there in July when it's too hot. Like, the screen
too hot.
The screen in porch just isn't a good... I've never enjoyed my time sitting or, like, sleeping in a screened-in porch area.
I feel like for Wisconsinites, the screened... And I know there's a ton of people that love screened-in because it keeps the bugs out and all. And that's all great. But, yeah, I just... It's going to get too hot in the middle of summer. And then it's going to be too cold in the middle of winter. So you're really in a conundrum.
Okay.
That was so funny.
I don't think you got enough sleep last night.
So much better than discussing one of the Packers' most important free agent signings of the offseason.
I didn't say not. I didn't tell you to not talk about Hobbs.
Well, now it's 10:02.
You straight up cut off the conversation about Nate Hobbs to ask about screened-in
porches.
Before
we get into Hobbs,
you did cut that off. That was on you.
It was a simple question. I didn't mean to. I didn't mean for you guys to go into a 5-minute diatribe about how you didn't know what a Four Seasons room was. I literally asked the difference and if you think a screened-in porch in the state of Wisconsin.
Wouldn't you say that was making that the conversation topic? You asked a question.
Yeah, it brought it up.
Yeah. I brought it up. We'll get to Nate Hobbs at some point. I do want to get to this Caleb Williams story, which is... I don't know if it's as big of a deal in my mind as it seems to be in others. I'm curious what Jesse thinks. I'm curious what Tausch thinks. We're curious what you think. We'll find out during the 10 o'clock hour, which starts in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.